a good clap.
That was a good one.
That's a good clap. Okay. Hello!
Hello! And you are very welcome to the Odd Jobs Podcast.
Oh my God.
The very first episode.
The very first episode.
The very first episode. Thanks so much.
We've been wanting to return for so long. Some of you might be people who listened to our previous podcast.
Yes.
Some of you might be our friends and family. Hello, Dad.
Fans.
Fans.
We have fans.
Some of you might be our fans.
Hi, James. No.
Some of you might be fans of our guests. Yes. Who we have coming on. And to be fair, we are too.
We wouldn't have had them on otherwise. But yeah, we are so excited to be back. As Ruby said, we've done a podcast before. I then had to go and get vocal cord surgery. Dramatic, I know. But I'm back. New voice, new pod.
I know.
And we're very excited about it.
Oh, we should tell you what Odd Jobs is.
What is Odd Jobs, Ruby?
So Odd Jobs, I'm going to read from our bio that I carefully wrote and spell checked many times. Welcome
Which
to Odd Jobs.
Which is required because Ruby's dyslexic. You should know that right at the top of the podcast. You won't believe how much it comes up.
Right. In Odd Jobs, we interview comedians, creators, and people with objectively cool jobs, not about their big break, but about their side hustles, the survival work, the odd jobs that got them there. This podcast is about the jobs that make the gloss glamour. Fuck!
You were so close! It's okay. Come on. This is the podcast. Odd Jobs is a podcast.
This is a podcast about the jobs that make the glamorous jobs possible.
Yay, she did it. I don't know why we got the dyslexic to do the reading part. I don't know. But she did a great job. And that's true. We want to hear about the grit, the hustle, all the odd jobs. Because most people who end up with very interesting and cool jobs have had a storied path to get there. Right? Do you know what I mean? And even people who, you know, everyone's got great bad jobs, good jobs, weird colleagues, good colleagues. Yeah. Crazy work stories, big weird asks. We want to hear about all those good things.
Once you start doing the cool job, you don't get asked about that job anymore. And it's like,
tell me about your cool job. And you're like, you should have heard about the time I was a dog walker for a geriatric woman.
And wait, is this true?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, Catherine.
We don't even know.
We've had so many jobs that half the time I don't know the ones. I feel like you're lying.
Yeah. Anyway. Also, I feel like I should say at the top of this, we launched this podcast is obviously not out yet, but it will be out when you see this. But we are recording this, and 2 days ago, what happened to me, Ruby?
I don't want to say.
I got made redundant. My job told me to get fucked. So the irony is not lost on me, and I will continue on my storied path of lots of odd jobs.
Maybe in the intro to each of these podcasts each week, we give a nice little work update.
Well, I'm also doing this potentially as a way to try and figure out what other odd jobs are available to me, because I got rent to pay, people, and I got no means to do it in the next 30 days. But... no, we're really excited. We genuinely have some great guests on. Our first guest is the wonderful, genuinely the most multifaceted person I maybe have ever met.
I mean, spoilers for the podcast.
Strap in, because we go from everywhere, from opera to coding and back again. But the wonderful Alex Franklin.
Yeah, the wonderful Alex Franklin's on our first episode and I love her so much.
Yes.
Also, in the episode, we tell you about, so she's currently working on a project called Mothman.
Yes.
And we talk about it in the episode because we're like, oh, when this comes out, Mothman would have already performed at the Pleasance in London. But one of the cast members was sick and it's been rescheduled.
Lucky for you guys.
And now you can go.
You can go. Go see Mothman at the Pleasance Theatre in November. Some days. Say in November.
Yeah.
But
we'll remind you at the end as well.
We'll get the actual dates. But yeah. So anyways, enough of us two yabbering on.
Yeah.
Let's go to the wonderful episode with Alex Franklin. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, it sounds like you actually do know how to beatbox.
Yeah, I'm very talented.
We know.
Yeah, we know.
Oh my God, maybe that's our intro.
What is it? Just that?
Maybe I take that out and I use that as our
I'm
intro.
I'm very talented.
Yeah, just use I'm very talented.
I like that you're already treating this like a job interview. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're coming in here being like, let me sell myself.
I like to win. I'm a winner. I'm a team player.
Oh, we know that you're a winner.
Alex Franklin. We do. Alex Franklin. Welcome to the podcast. Alex Franklin.
It's me.
Bow, 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 bow. Alex Franklin, Brighton Fringe Comedy Award nominated.
No. Don't do my bio.
You sit there and take it. Oh. As heard on Channel 4, HBO Max and BBC Radio 4.
those are all reality TV shows, by the way. None of them
That's
are
glamorous.
Let's add that to the list. Reality TV show star.
The list is getting longer. Award nominated comedian, writer, Director.
Right, director.
Finalist of the Max Turner Comedy Competition.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I knew of excellent reviews for Girl Code as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That finalist of the Max Turner Comedy Competition, the Chortle Student Comedy Competition, yes. And the BBC Radio 4 Comedy Awards.
Yes. Well, that wasn't a fun. I was just in the It was the
yeah, no, please diminish all of those accomplishments as soon as we list them.
I was in the round before the final, I guess.
Yes.
Which is not, but it wasn't a radio.
I was in the same.
Really?
For the BBC New Comedy Awards, but it wasn't radio.
Oh, the TV one.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
I got to be on TV, so as seen on BBC One and BBC Three.
I'll just set out for this one then, shall I? let the two BBC people talk to each other.
She's entered. She didn't make it through.
I accidentally got into it when I did it. I basically didn't know what I was doing.
Oh,
I was
same.
Like, oh, sick. Okay, oh my God, this is the first time we've ever...
And I actually tried.
Ruby knew what she was doing the entire time.
I didn't know what it was when I... So I was at uni and I was like just doing like random sketch comedy stuff. And then I had like a bit and I was like, there's some competition thing. I might as well just submit this like sketch I did in like a theater for it. And then they put it on because they were like, they liked it. But I went and I turned up the actual day and it was a bunch of like comedians. And I was like, I think it was like Chloe Petz and like Esther Manito and people like that.
Okay,
I didn't know what I was doing. I asked them, I was like, oh, what do you guys do for a job? And they were like, oh, I'm a comedian. And I'm like, all right, but what do you actually do? And they were like, I am a comedian. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
So what are you currently working on?
So me and my friend Nicola McMurtry, who has lovely hair, we've written a musical called Mothman, a romance musical. And it's a comedy musical about a girl falling in love with and trying to sleep with Mothman.
Love it.
You know, do you know Mothman?
Yes.
Oh, stunning. Okay, yes.
So you're a writer.
Obviously
you're writing a musical.
You're right.
Those are your words.
Yes,
I'm just saying them back to you.
I feel like you're putting them in my mouth.
Okay. Basically, you seem to be unaware of what your job is.
Am I a writer?
You are writing.
You are
a
writing
musical.
A musical.
Yeah.
So therefore, you are a writer.
No, but that's just like being silly and stuff.
No,
it's being a bit silly.
Yeah, but in a structured way that gets put down on paper. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well then that there is the writing.
A Google Doc. We can't afford a printer. So. So, not made of money.
It's fair, like, absolutely fair.
The most relatable thing that's ever been said.
We would print like 35 pages for the entire cast each.
I don't have £60.
Let me go get a mortgage. What I like is that you don't view the typing into the Google Doc as writing.
No.
But printing it would make you a writer.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's going like that's
there has to be some element of paper involved.
I do think a little bit. Or an old typewriter, perhaps, I think.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I think when this podcast comes out, Mothman would have already been done at
it
the
will.
Pleasance.
Yes.
But are you doing it more afterwards?
Yes. Well, then everyone go look and find Mothman.
Yeah.
Find
the unwritten musical, apparently.
And find the guy as well. If you can find the famous West Virginian cryptid, that's going to make you a lot of money as well.
But like, sure.
So you agree?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay.
This is good.
I've been lost for 50% of what we've said thus far in this podcast. But anyway,
that's what you're currently working on.
You are currently now a stand-up comedian, a writer, director, all of these amazing, glamorous, very cool things.
Oh my God, okay.
But what we actually...
Sorry. Okay, we'll carry on. Okay, sorry. I'll let you say the sentence again.
We brought you here for an existential crisis is what we brought you here for. No, we want to talk about all the jobs that led to you being the wonderful, glamorous comedian that you are today.
Yes.
Right, how did you get to where you are?
Yes, okay, yes.
So what was the first way that you made money?
Your first ever.
The first ever.
Gig, hustle, grind.
I don't know if this counts as a job. But it kind
of be a job.
This is why we said the first way you made
anything
money.
But cash in the pocket.
So when I was a child, I did like child opera singing. Did you know this?
Why don't we know
fuck
this?
I was so we were
oh my god,
there.
Alex, you're like my favorite person ever. I'm a obsessed with the fact that we were like, we want to know about the unglamorous jobs. And then you said the most glamorous
thing. It's not glamorous.
Opera
is literally
that is old glamour.
I hated it. It sucked. It was like a real grind for me. It was like...
How old were you?
I was like, I probably started around like 9 or 10.
I'm imagining 9, 10-year-old Alex holding like a little cigarette being like, God, another day of this.
Look at you. Ave Maria. Grazina Bena.
It meant I
Fuck
was
me again.
It wasn't. I was really sleepy. Oh. And also, I was like, yeah.
Oh, because everyone was singing you to sleep. No. They were all
oh,
like
yes. I'm being lulled to sleep every time.
How did you become a child opera singer?
So I, when I was in school, I joined the junior choir or whatever. And then I remember I was like 7 or something. And then I got kicked out of it because my voice was too loud. And so I was as if I was like some sort of like rebel.
That is discriminatory.
I know, exactly. For
I
loud
used to
voice
get
people.
Given out to in choir practice for being too loud, but I was never kicked out.
Oh, okay. I think people, you know what? No one talks about the real minority in today's age.
Us loud people.
Yeah, loud voices.
People really discriminate against us. Can we say that?
Yeah. People think we're rude.
Yes.
And that's it. But I think it's unfair.
I think obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
Yeah.
They think that they think we're annoying.
They think I'm aggressive.
They think
and
yes.
I get really mad when they say that.
Yeah. And I'm like all of these separately, yes. But not because of my loud voice.
I 100% agree. I think that's and true across the board. So wait, you got kicked out of the choir.
I got kicked out of the choir because I had a loud voice. And then, as I was like leaving, the person who ran the school choir, which is for the older people, he like heard winds of what happened. And
well,
was
you
like,
were loud. Yeah, of course he heard you.
Of course he heard from across the yard. And he was like, hey, I hear you've been kicked out of junior choir because of your loud voice. And I was like, yeah, what of it? And he was like, do you want to try and upgrade to the school choir? And I was like, ooh, okay. And so I got put in early when I was young.
Okay.
Because I had apparently a good singing voice and also I was loud. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled. So they were kind of like, I got brought into some other like choir in London. And then from that, I got just like asked to do random things where they just need like a small child to look cute and then sing like an aria or whatever.
Just casually just singing an aria.
Kind of, I mean...
Also, this just goes to show the difference between growing up in the countryside and growing up in the city, as you did. Because I was the loud person in the choir. And what I got... all that happened to me was I was put at the back of the church. Because there was no grade like graduating into grander and grander choirs. Yeah. There was just the Catholic church that I attended, and that was generally it. But you all of a sudden were singing arias on London stages.
Yeah. Well, in the middle, because I grew up in a city, in my choir, I was too loud, but I was given a solo. So.
Oh.
Max O'Brien, my old choir director, fuck you. Okay.
Apparently,
I missed out on loads of opportunities.
I actually think, to be fair,
Max is at home being like, you were just a shit singer.
You're loud and bad. That's a different thing.
Loud and good, we can work with. Loud and bad, back at their church.
Yeah. I think also partly it was probably because I went to like a posh school.
I was just so about was to like, say that, no harm.
I know, let me get it out.
You sat stumbling into opera at a fucking public school. Or no, what do you, I get mixed up in England. But like what I would call
private?
A public school.
State school.
State school, thank you. State school,
yeah.
You know, there isn't funding for opera.
But imagine that episode like Educating Essex, and then they're like, we got to take you to the big leagues, and they bring them to like the English National Opera and stuff, and they bring them out.
So wait, how much did you earn from being a child opera singer? Like was there good money in it?
Nothing.
Well, you were rich, you didn't need money.
We were upper middle class.
English people keep saying this to me, and I don't know what it means.
It means we were, you know what, it's actually... I think it's fine. Okay. Ba 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 ba. Is it fine?
Yeah. Go on. Okay. Oh
my god. This is not gonna be. This is very much not a sympathy story. I'm gonna throw this out there.
Yeah.
This is basically me being like, we were rich, but the school we were at, everyone was
richer.
So rich. And what? No, but what that meant
this
is.
This is all posh people in England do, by the way. Is that they're like, oh, you think I'm rich because my family owns a second home?
No.
So many people own PJs.
We were okay. I think what's weird is because I was on a partial scholarship, which basically meant I should have just gone to a slightly cheaper cheaper private school.
Okay.
Because of that, other kids would occasionally make fun of me for being poor, and I didn't realize what how completely off that was. Until like I turned like 13, 14, 15 and started like, you know, not just like going to school and just meeting people and stuff like that and being like, oh, everyone there is like, they're just insanely rich. And then we're doing great in terms of the like income and stuff like that, and it's all fine. But I just have such a warped perception of the school because of the school I've grown up.
I get what you mean. Like you were poor relative.
Yeah, but
to
not
your environment.
Well, yes, they saw you as a. They were like, "Well, Alex is off working, going singing down the opera."
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, working class kid, literally. What's he doing? Arias, you know that classic one. Someone classic blue collar crap.
Someone went up to me once and said, "I smelled of poor," and I was like, "I know."
Because here's the thing: when you are actually in schools where there is actual poverty. The rich kids, those who have two-parent households, I don't know, both parents have a job, they're the ones who get slagged, right?
So that's how it should be. I should have been bullied for having too much money. It was weird. I was like...
Either which way, even if you'd have been the rich kid in the poor school, you would have been bullied. You were the poor kid in the rich school, you were getting bullied either way.
I know.
Right, so and there was no way to win.
I think really, like, it's fate for me to be bullied, but I shouldn't have been an underdog. I should have been like the person that was justifiably insulted. And instead, somehow, I was the people's champ. Which is a weird time.
At what point did you stop doing opera then? Yeah. When did you stop?
And genuinely, did you earn money? Like, I maybe it wasn't much, but so like... I'm relative. You were like, oh, it was nothing. It was a couple of hundred quid to a 10-year-old. What are you going to buy with that?
It was like, I think in total, I did it for like 4 years, maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
And I probably earned, it wasn't that much. It was for like $6,000 total. But it was like, but we paid that.
You're a lot richer than I thought you were because not that much over 4 or 5 years. So by the time you were, 15, 16, you'd $6,000 in the bank.
No, we used it on school fees, so I lost it. I didn't even...
Fuck your parents. They were going to pay those school fees either way, right? Yeah.
No, they couldn't afford it.
Fair.
I think we fundamentally shouldn't have gone. It was a bad choice for us to go. Yeah. We could have gone on so many holidays if we just went to a normal school.
Because also $6,000 in when? Early 2000s?
2010, probably. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But still, worth more than $6,000 today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it would have been great. I mean, that's like 100,000 now or something. Yeah.
That's how bad inflation is in England, actually. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. That's everything.
You could have bought property.
Yeah. No, I think it was a weird time. But it was I stopped doing it when I was 14 because my voice started to break.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then this is basically because I think when you go through male puberty, like your voice can have a break like really fast, or it can take ages to like settle.
Oh, okay.
And mine took like ages to settle. And so because of that, they'd be like, sing higher, sing this. And I'd be like, I can't, I'm doing this. I'm in trouble. And it took me ages for it to like get to a point where I'd be like, oh, I'm happy with this. Or I can like sing notes and it's fine. But they were not happy with that because I was losing my childlike demeanor.
God. It's a bit creepy when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah. I do come across, I do look childlike to this day.
Yeah,
so
I was just
going to
say, so they were like, you're still a boy? Sing like a boy!
I forgot this. In COVID, I got signed to a child acting agency.
Oh, yeah.
As a bit.
What age were you in during COVID?
Yeah, as a joke. I was 20.
Already too old.
I think 21, 22.
And you were a child actor.
I got, because they never asked my age. So
you were joking me.
So they, it was just like, I think they, to be fair, they started taking adults on after a bit, but I don't think they thought I was a child because... they basically didn't have any children. They didn't have any adults at the time, and it was all pretty much children. And then they would do these tweets that would be like, oh, because it was a child acting agency, being like, supportive of the kids, being like, oh, well done to little Timmy for getting this audition, heart, heart, or well done to little Maisie for like doing this recall. She's doing the best job. And there was one tweet that was like, well done to all our little actors and actresses for learning their lines this week. Gold star, and then gold star emojis, and it was a grid of like, it was 9 people, and it was 7 to 8-year-olds and me in the right-hand corner.
Yeah, they definitely thought you were a kid.
They definitely thought I was
a
child.
They 110 thought
but
you were
well
a kid.
But well done for learning your lines.
Yeah, well thank done.
You. Thank you. I'm
so
really
wait,
good.
Did you go straight from operatic singing to child acting? Or no, was there? What was then the first actual job?
The first actual job, the child acting was, I didn't get any, I think I got like barely any money from the child acting. It was fundamentally.
You could hardly learn your lines.
I could hardly learn my lines. Also, I turn up to auditions and I'm like, this is not a child.
Sing like a boy.
The first job that I made money on, I did a bunch in between like leaving school and uni. I did a bunch of like tutoring and stuff, like science.
That's
tutoring
another
stuff.
Thing that I've heard rich people do.
It
people
is.
Who went to private school or Oxford or Cambridge, they were like, "Well, you know, tutoring." And I'm like, "The fuck are you talking about tutoring?"
It's incredibly yeah.
overpriced. My brother did it for a little while, but in Ireland we call it grinds.
Ooh.
Don't ask me why.
Okay.
It's but yeah, when you're like doing your exact like leaving cert, which is like your A levels.
Yeah.
You can be like, oh, I'm getting a chemistry grind.
Oh.
And you'll pay someone like, you know, 40 quid an hour or something for them to like help you one on one, you know, privately or whatever else.
That's quite Gen Z.
What the grind?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Because but the weird thing is that I never correlated it to like now I feel like the word grind is in culture.
Yeah.
But back then the only way I knew like it was if you were the grind of gears or something, but
yeah,
I got chemistry grinds off a man who was in his 60s and he used to refer to them as grinds.
Interesting.
So I don't know where that terminology like comes from.
Do you think
but it wasn't like a young like I'm aware okay. that now that sounds like getting the
I'm
grinds.
On a chemistry grinds,
but
yo.
It really wasn't. She'd be like, oh yeah, grinds. They've to get their Irish, you know.
Yeah. Do
whatever
you think
else.
In the same way that like a lot of language now has sort of appropriated like AAVE and stuff? Like a lot of like African American vernacular.
Yeah.
Do you think in the same way we've appropriated like Irish vernacular?
Oh yeah.
And it's like just become and we're not acknowledging.
Do you know the amount of fucking people, Alex, who walk up to me and they're like, oh my god, I was out the weekend, it was great crack, and I'm like,
I find it strange too.
It's so strange.
Yeah. Like, you're
leave
not
it
Irish.
Alone.
You're
that's not yours.
I also am like, I don't
fucking colonizers again. Leave us have something. It's so strange,
it's
though, isn't
weird.
It?
And yeah.
I'm intrigued. Do you ever find as an English people,
English people,
use
we've surrounded her.
Does it? Would like an English person say it to you? I'm always like, do they say that when I'm not around? Like, are they actually using that phraseology minus an Irish person in the room, or are they trying to use it? Like, are they almost trying to show off in the same way, like code switching, where you see? I feel like we know as like generally, like I will see white people. Talk one way, and then all of a sudden, if black people are in the room, they're all of a sudden like using, like, as you would say, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, more they try and oh, let me change my language.
Let me be South London all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you're
what
the fuck is happening here? Right? Yeah. We all know that.
I think
I'm wondering if they're doing that with me when they say crack, but you're saying.
Separate, I think they do it.
Either way, I don't like it.
I think
leave it alone.
There's a type of like, I think young 20s to 30s sort of like. Sort of Clapham boy, who I think uses it all the time.
Yes.
And they have like they've got very like shaved short hair and like maybe a hairline that's a bit like this, and they've got like a North Face jacket.
Yes.
And they like to like put it in to kind of make them seem like they're more like a man of the people.
I do you know what it is?
Yeah.
No harm, but like it's embarrassing to be English, isn't it? Right?
It is.
Yeah, and I know I'm an Irish person saying that, but like in general it kind of is. And especially if you are sort of a middle class white man, you've got edge.
Of course.
You're just whatever else. So I think it's a way of them trying. The other thing I find is like, oh, there is no one more desperate to tell me that they are Irish, my grandparents are Irish, whatever else, than sort of
a middle class white man.
Millennial Gen Z white middle class men.
Yes.
Because they need
something to grab
they
onto.
They need something.
Yeah.
They need something. And so it is, I think, those types of people. And the other one they do is they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's grand, don't worry about it. And you're like, no, 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 don't you be using grand.
Yeah.
And also they'll misuse it.
They will.
They'll think it means like, oh, it's grand, like it's great. And I'm like, no, grand, if you're like, ah, it's grand, it means fine in Irish.
Yeah, it is not
highly complimentary.
I learned that through living with you.
Yeah, see?
You're like, everything's going great.
Oh. Well, yeah, because Catherine kept saying that things were grand. I was like,
I know.
Amazing. Catherine's having a wonderful day. And then I started using it when it was wonderful, and you kept being like,
I was like, you're misusing this.
Yeah, like, Ruby, are you okay?
Like, oh my God, it was so grand. And I'm like, why is she? I think maybe she's got it wrong.
Oh my God, okay.
But yeah, but wait, okay, so hold on.
Yes.
Jobs.
Yes.
So you went tutoring.
That was in between school and then uni.
And
I
uni.
I did physics and maths and biology tutoring.
Oh, so because those, yeah, they're this
they're useful.
Thing. They're useful. I was really good at English.
hard to sell.
Very rough.
Also hard. Well, not hard to teach, but it's like you have to put more effort in. Whereas like with maths, you can just rock up and be like, "That's wrong."
Yeah.
Which is like
my easy. Brother did maths kinds and fucking yeah.
So it's so easy because it's everyone else has prepared like hours and you're just like, I probably shouldn't be saying this because I still occasionally tutor kids, but like you kind of do just rock up and you're like. Wrong, do this right, do this best.
You're sick of shit, there you go. Be better.
This is why I decided, I was like, if I'm not successful in doing this by the time I'm 40, then
podcasting, of course.
Yeah, podcasting, if I'm not, then I was going
to... You just wait, we're about to get real racist and real successful. You just wait.
But I was going to become a maths teacher by the time I'm 40.
Because you are very good at maths.
I love maths. Oh. And because it's like, you don't have to go, oh, this is this level of good or this level. It's either right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's very,
and I love that.
It's very easy to mark.
I'm good
stuff.
In the grey.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just vibe it out here.
We're just feeling, is it good? Is it bad?
Let me just, make it seem bad. Yeah, who could say if it's good or it's bad? I'm actually all right. I'm not bad at maths.
Okay.
I'm
not
bad.
What level did you do of maths?
Oh, so this is in Ireland, maths is compulsory up until the Leaving Cert, which is A levels.
Yeah.
And every subject in Ireland you have, you have honours level, ordinary level. So I feel like you guys, but like you could do a harder version of the subject.
Mm.
So honours level is like the top tier.
Okay,
Ordinary level is kind of standard.
Okay.
And then you can, in some subjects, maths being one, do foundation level, which is basically it's required that you do this, but it's a very basic version. And so you can try pass it. And I was doing honours level maths. In fifth year, which is very hard.
Yes.
So now, when I did it, they didn't have this. But now, in Ireland, if you do honours level maths, you can get more points. So in every other subject, if you... Ireland has this point system. Anyways, but say like an A1 is worth 100 points.
Okay, yeah.
100 points for every subject, A1, 100 points. In maths, A1, 125 points. They give you more because they recognise how hard the honours level maths is.
And as you know, points mean prizes.
What did you win?
A space at university.
Yay!
Genuinely, in Ireland, the way you get into college is there's no personal statement. They don't know your name.
It's
you
points.
Apply based on points. Ooh. And that's how it goes.
Can you get points for non-subject things?
No. Literally, entirely based on academia alone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
so for
enough.
People like me, hard. A problem. Because I'm all soft skills.
I'm vibes.
I'm entirely soft skills.
I'm winning them over in the room.
Captain of the debate team, captain of the hockey team.
Oh my
captain
God.
Captain of the choir, school prefect.
You're captain of the choir?
Captain. Catherine gave that title to herself. At the back of the room. I'm the fucking captain.
I'm actually in charge here. I'm actually, they don't know it, but I'm the authority figure in it.
I was like, there was a captain of altos, captain of sopranos, whatever else. And it just meant you were like in charge because like...
Oh my God.
There was a... Anyways, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I didn't get into the university I wanted, essentially. But the points thing, I did honour... But when I was doing it, it was 100, the same. And everyone was like, but honours maths is so much harder. Hmm. And so I did honours maths up until halfway through my fifth year.
Okay.
And then the teacher turned around to me and she was like, you're able to do this, but... it's just taking you longer than everyone else. And she was like, you're also doing hockey and captain of the debate team and all of these things.
Yeah.
She was like, you don't have time to put
to
maths.
All this,
So you either do them or do this. And I was like, I'm not doing this. So I did honours level maths, but I did get an A1. Or in ordinary level maths, I got an A1 and I literally never studied. So I could do the maths.
Because
my brothers did the honours level maths. But by the time my brother did it, there was the extra points on the table.
It's a really long-winded way of saying just being like, I promise I'm really good at maths, actually.
Do you know what? I could do it if it's explained to me. is basically. I don't know why I'm so defensive about that.
No fair. What level maths did you do?
I did A level.
Ah, so fair enough. Did you do further? Or did you
No, I just did it. It was I did A level because I liked maths.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any of the homework or any of the like side stuff, but yeah. I still came out with a B because okay. I was like, I liked being in the room, but my maths teacher hated me.
God, she's so good, but I despise her.
Like, I don't think women like you or I are the general sort of ideal math students.
No. Well, they want a quieter, sort of just generically studious.
No, I generally, I remember one time I came, I the lesson before we were doing like an exam.
Yeah.
And I wasn't feeling very well on it, but I did it, but I wasn't feeling great. And I like left like early during the exam. I was like, I need to go. I'm not feeling great. So I did it as best I could. I came into the next lesson. And she was giving out sweets to the girls before me who were coming into lesson, being like, here's a condolence sweet. You girls, you tried really hard. You worked really
just
hard.
Just to the girls, condolence sweets.
And then she looked at me and went, no sweet for you.
What?
I just was like, okay.
And did you deck her in the face?
Yeah.
No, because she was a grown woman and I was 17 and I did not care.
You're very tall. Like, you're
okay.
Very
That's wild.
That is insane.
Anyway,
the only maths test I ever failed, and yeah. I once, and it was my favorite thing. And I was like, I once got 2% on a maths test, and everyone was like, "The fuck!"
Oh
and
God.
It was the one I can't even remember what type of maths it is. You'll know where you basically have to learn formulas, and then you just apply the formulas.
Yeah.
I didn't. And
just didn't learn any
again,
formulas.
Back in my day, now they let you have the formulas. Apparently, in the
they
exams.
Do.
I was not allowed to have the formulas
because of woke.
Because I
of
never
woke.
Did anything. Yeah, woke people giving them formulas.
The liberal left giving you quadratic formulas.
I still get minus b plus or minus square root of b squared minus 4ac over 2a.
Very good.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
I learned it in the end.
Look at that, Gen Alpha. Learn from
take
this.
That, John O'Newsome, my old maths teacher.
Right.
Anyways, but yeah, I that one was fun, and I actually bragged about the fact that I got 2% in honors test.
No, that is cool. I think that's quite cool. Also, the 2% I think is funnier than zero.
It was really bad.
To also just be like, I got this one.
I think he gave me like an attempt mark for throwing a guess or
you
something
just put
like this.
B. You're just like B.
I think I did the thing where I like did what was in the brackets first. And he was like, there you go.
We're gonna give us something.
Okay. So wait, you went.
Yes. Wait, can
opera
I do a
singing?
Can I do a maths brag? Can I do a?
Okay,
actually, no.
We're gonna give you the maths brag, and then we're gonna go on to next question.
Okay, I don't know if this is this might be unlikable as like a thing, but it's like
no, I need something to make you unlikable because okay. Right now I'm upset.
I went to posh school. That's unlikable. That's an unlikable trait.
Yeah, I was about to say you were the poor kid in posh school.
Yeah,
we already hate you. But
you're so charming about it.
I feel that's kind of more annoying than being like a posh kid in posh school. I think to be like to like try and attempt to cling on to something. And be like, no, I promise. I had hard times.
I know struggle.
Yeah.
I was a tired opera singing child.
I know. Okay.
Mass brag.
I'll do the. Sorry. Okay. It's gonna sound. It's gonna sound sad, but it's not actually. So, basically, so when I was doing my A level exams, so when I was doing my A level exams, my mum sadly passed away. rest in peace. But a very lovely woman. lovely woman. We agree?
No doubt. I'm certain.
But, I have had struggle. Yeah. In those exams, I got a 97% average. And then because my mum passed away during my exams, I got automatically, for extenuating circumstances, plus 5%. So my UMS average...
Wait, what?
Yeah, so my...
In England, they show compassion in exams.
It's university dependent, and it's a bit varied, but
so
like...
you got 103%.
102%. I thought... Are you not... Are you... Wait, when did you finish maths?
Wait, what did you say?
97.
Oh, I thought you said
98. And then plus 5.
So 117%. We do maths differently in Ireland.
To be fair, once you get above 100%, it's all ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the concept of 102% is all... basically, it meant it was the highest mark, unless someone got 100 and they had, like, quite a sick dog.
Wait, we actually have questions.
Yes. We do have questions.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about jobs?
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask you. What was your favorite job you ever had?
Favorite job?
Yeah.
What was a favorite job? I can't remember. I think I had an answer for this. I actually was like, I actually had a really good answer for this, and it's evaporated. I think it was like, can I do worst job first?
Yeah.
Actually?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because I had one. Like, the worst job I had was like, so I, straight out of uni, I worked for this, I'm going to completely shit on this company. I worked briefly for this television consultancy company. They did not pay me enough. It was terrible. I joined it because I was like, basically my dad was like, you need to get a job and then leave home. And then that's the sitch. Because right. he was like, you got to make it for yourself in the world.
he threw you out the nest.
He did. Yeah, yeah. And it meant I accepted a job that was like 19, 20 grand a year or something. That was like, it's like not good. And I joined. The summary of this is they were a little bit racist. Not necessarily to me, but well, a little bit to me, but also to generally. I think the first worry was, I was like, oh, what sort of things have you, this company done that they're really proud of? And then the guy who was like my boss, he was like, yeah. I guess one of our best things is, do you remember when Meghan Markle came to the spotlight and people started interviewing her dad and her dad was being really horrible about her? Yeah, we sorted that. That was there.
Oh my God.
I know.
They were like, yeah, we exploited her life.
100%. It was then.
And they were.
Fuck me.
That was them being like, this is the best thing we've done.
So they're like the Daily Mail of television.
100%. And also, I looked up, I started looking up through their database when I'd like done a task one time. And I looked through it. And then I was like, let me just look up random shows and see what their notes are on it. And I looked up the Noughts and Crosses adaptation that they were doing.
Okay. Oh, Noughts and Crosses, those book, the series of books. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, about
sorry,
like race relations and stuff.
Yes,
and it's
yeah.
Like, what if the roles of like white people.
I was thinking of the literal game, not across. There's a book series.
Someone make this into a Netflix show.
It was like, God, sounds like they made really shit TV.
They did. Yeah. But the Noughts and Crosses BBC adaptation.
Yes.
And the only note they put was too ethnic. I know.
What, on that series?
That's it,
oh my God.
Wasn't Stormzy involved in that adaptation to TV? Or wasn't Stormzy? Stormzy like loves those books.
So oh, maybe.
Did some whole thing with that book. And
we all love those books.
Yeah. Those books.
Marilee Blackman,
really
you've done it again.
They are great books. Okay, so you worked in a race. How long were you there for? How did you get out?
So I was there for 4 months, and I was basically, my thing was, if I did it now, I'd just quit immediately. But my thing was, I was like, okay, I don't want this to look weird in my CV. I'm just going to, because I was, you know, you're young, you're worried about that, like ethereal concept of looking good in CV and stuff. And so you're like, so I was like, I'll just wait until my probation is over, the 6 month period, and then I'll quit. But then, 4 months in, COVID happened, I was working from home, I got made redundant. And they haven't specifically said this, but I think it's because the previous night, I, on the work laptop, I downloaded Civilization 6 to play with some friends.
Do you think they could see it?
I learned much later that they often track the work laptops and what happens on them.
Yeah. But you think that was the reason why you got made redundant?
I think so. I played a lot of Civ 6.
COVID happened and there was no work to do, no?
No, because they could have...
furloughed?
They could have furloughed me. Mm. I specifically asked, like, can you furlough me? They were like, ah, it's not possible. And I was like, I think it is possible, but I think it's because of Civilization 6.
They're actually a big fan of Civilization 5.
Yeah. It's the better one.
It's too urban for them.
they also, I had to download it because it was a Mac, and I didn't have a Mac in our house.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, you could only download it for that type of computer. So I was like, this is, well, thank God I've got this job.
Brilliant.
And it was great. It was good fun.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
Thank you.
Did you then immediately have to give the laptop back?
Yes, they actually sent a courier. Yeah. And I rapidly tried to delete everything. And
Civilization 6 and all the porn.
I think I downloaded more games, actually. I think I was just like, oh, I got
it's
laptop
my laptop. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was also a very bad laptop and stuff. And this isn't a good company.
No,
it doesn't sound like
that. That was the least of concerns. The bad laptop is the racism and then
the Civilization 6. You mentioned there about your CV and wanting the CV to look good. You did, before this, ask you about your wedding CV.
Yes.
Please explain.
I think one thing you have to, I've got incredible riz. And so
people always say that. So you know?
No. I can prove it. I'll prove it.
Okay.
So I basically
go on, riz me up.
Riz you up. You want me to riz you up? You want me to riz you up?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I feel like I should be here. Okay. I feel like I'm in the way. I'm just not here. I'm gonna watch.
No, I can't. Okay. The wedding scene. Basically, So one time I was like, I matched with a girl on Hinge.
Right.
And then we were talking, and then in fact she had this prompt basically that was like, message me if, and then if you want to be a plus one to a wedding in Turkey, open bracket, serious inquiries only. I've got a wedding in Turkey, I need to bring someone to it.
Okay.
And I was like, is this legit? Because I want to go to Turkey. And then she was like, yeah. And so I was like, embarrassing, like, few amount of messages. I was like, well, let me seal this Turkey deal out.
Yeah.
And let me seal this.
Was she covering transport and...
The bride would be covering transport.
No way.
And stuff.
So it's a free trip to Turkey on the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might have to get my phone to show this. I wrote a wedding CV about my previous wedding experience, what I bring to the table at a wedding. It did also work, and then we did date for like 11 months or whatever. I know, incredible. Wait, hold this.
Yes, wait.
Oh, there it is.
I was joking. But this is why you have the bright pink case, right? So you can spot it.
Oh, didn't even think about that. No, I genuinely just like, I like the colour. So,
I don't think I've ever heard of anyone's actual CV getting them as good a gig as a free trip to Turkey.
Oh yeah, no, it's good.
That's bananas.
It's like much better than my actual CV. My actual CV is terrible. I would look at it the other day and I was like, it's riddled with spelling mistakes. There's like parts I'm like, that's not true. It's all sorts of things.
Yeah, you have to remember your lies.
Yeah,
it's hard.
I have to remember your lies. My Spotlight profile is full of lies.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Oh my god, amazing. Okay. Also, it's here. I don't know if you want to have a browse.
Let's have a look. Okay, great. Love the edited photo.
Feel free to zoom in and explore.
I feel like this isn't great for the podcast medium.
No, I don't think so, but we should definitely say so.
I'm going to send it to you if you want. I guess it's hard for podcasts.
I would also say as well, it looks like this CV, you've done like a full cover letter.
Yeah.
Right, saying wedding in Turkey application. Alex is excellent company, particularly at a function such as birthday or marriage ceremony, or when helping me create all my music. Mitski, musical artist. That's incredible that you got a quote from Mitski.
I asked what her friends were into at the time because they were like the panel, and she was like Mitski and Mrs. Milhouse.
So you catered. I was just about to ask why Mrs. Milhouse was on here.
Yeah,
but
her name isn't Mrs. Milhouse. They were wrong about it. It's Mrs. Van Outen, technically. It's not. Milhouse is the child.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you like, I put like strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, so we have two previous weddings here.
Yeah.
Zach Joplin's wedding guest.
Yes.
Right? Created consistent online content for TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and other social media plannings, increasing wedding SEO by 2,000%. I love it.
It's great. It's good stuff.
Laughed only two times when the priest kept saying, among us.
It's really funny how you do it.
Collected the most confetti to throw at all the attendees, allowing for a longer confetti experience for my team.
Of course.
That's
yes.
really good, because in the confetti photos, people, they throw their confetti and then they turn around and then they look sad. And you've got to keep looking happy and throw for as long as possible.
Yeah, have as much like spread out. I was like, I'm making sure so we're the lot that's looking good. Yeah. I don't care about the rest of the people. I'm hoping
you've got to think
succeed.
About content is king.
Yeah, content is king.
I also like here, we also have a cousin's wedding. And under that you have attended as a member of the executive board, in brackets, colloquially known as the family. And was at the time the youngest person to ever achieve such a rank. I like that you're the youngest person to ever be in a family.
Yeah.
Are you the youngest child?
In the family,
yeah.
At the time, and then they had a baby.
Brilliant. And then we've also just got other things here. Weaknesses. I'm really hot. Brackets can be distracting.
Yeah. I got good riz.
A 4.7 Uber rating. Nice. Yeah. I was going to stick that in. I reckon that could go on all CVs.
I think that's a weakness. I think that's quite low compared
that's
to...
That's on weakness.
Yeah.
You want
is that low?
That's quite low, I think.
It to be down into 4.7, 4.8. And above.
That's good.
It's better.
Yeah,
really?
That's good.
I'm
yeah.
I don't know what mine is, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Post-wedding utility. Live near a cat cafe. I'm really good at organizing games of Survivor. Can provide references. Ruby?
Yes. Yeah,
references available immediately. That's so great. So
thank you.
You sent that over.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
How long before the wedding was this? And when was your application approved?
So we dated for a long time. And then, but... The wedding got cancelled.
Because of COVID?
No, because I think the bride got like some sort of gastrointestinal disease. She's fine now, but she got like they had to cancel the wedding.
Oh.
And okay. Also, and this is,
she didn't get 5% extra on her wedding then.
She did, her dad died. This is the theme of the
dead parents.
The theme of the podcast is dead parents,
dead
which
parents.
Is like really
Jesus Christ.
It's also like
I'm so sorry.
So wait, do you know what's really annoying as well is that me and Ruby were both sitting here when you were like the wedding got cancelled. We were like tepid drama.
We were like,
drama.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
We killed off the dad by the save. We forgot about the death.
Yeah, she got 5% extra.
Forgot.
as is the nice. Colloquial term.
I hope yeah. She got at least 6 to 7%.
Why don't you get more? I want more then. I want to get 6 to 7%. I guess the wedding cancelling.
I was going
to
say,
that's
yeah,
a plus
yeah.
one or two. Yeah.
Wow.
So that wedding never happened. So you never ended up going to Turkey?
No, and then
so
we broke up.
So all of that for naught?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, what's
it's
the point?
It's worse when you do all the effort to fill in a job application.
Yeah.
Go through 11 months of screening, and then you don't even get the gig.
I know.
That's rough.
I know. And I was like so close. And I was in like, I did so many final like stages.
Yeah.
My interview.
My
an
God.
Application. But yeah, tough times.
Tough times.
Yeah.
Tough times.
But yes.
Okay, another job question.
Yeah.
What was a job that you've always wanted to do but never went for?
Oh, yeah. This
could be anything now. This could be, you know, innkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be.
But it's just like sometimes you see them
pilot.
Listed or you're like,
you know,
when
you're like,
I did that.
I remembered my answer to the good job thing. But.
Okay, great.
But.
Well, it's too late now.
I'll go back to it. The job I'd want to do. I guess I'm like. This is just a genuine answer. I think I really wanted to. I'd love to be able to do more science stuff. I think it's like working in a lab would be. I'd enjoy that and then do like comedy stuff. But the issue is, like actual academic lab work doesn't make any money really, unless you go into like an industry and you're doing it for like L'Oreal or something.
L'Oreal is the most scientific company you could think of. Part of me,
have
you
seen
don't
the
actually
formula
know science?
They use
we have a new formula.
It's so science.
Triple bonding.
Fuck. But I think like something about like putting on a lab coat and going into a lab, like something about that is so.
I mean, kids dress up as scientists.
Yeah.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
I don't know.
You were an opera singer.
I think I was just like on the grind. I think that was like,
tutoring.
I think I was like, I was tutoring. I think I was.
But
I don't know what I wanted
to
be.
Even when you were small, no.
Yeah, I think I want maybe like a panda. Or something like a big panda.
Right.
I really like them beasts.
Okay, so you were not living in the real world. You weren't really on your hustle and grind yet.
Excuse me. I had a job. I was making money.
Sky's the limit.
I think maybe
for a scientist. Nice.
I briefly thought about being an architect, and so my A levels.
Are you good at drawing?
I'm quite good at drawing. Yeah. Ooh. I
Fucking how many skills do you have?
Every
Fuck
single
me.
One. I swear to God, every time I speak to you.
I look like a child. I can sing opera. I'm amazing at maths. 103%, I'll have you know.
102%. 102%.
For God's sake, you put me wrong.
So, for our final question, in hindsight, what job did you learn the most from or has been the most useful to you?
I used to work at this like education company where this is, again, I probably shouldn't be saying this because if they don't watch this, if you want it's suck. So I used to work
if
this.
If you work for an education company, look away now.
I'm going to talk about how much I played you. But
Oh, it's great when you exploit a workplace.
Oh, 100%.
Instead of them. Because I feel like it's either one or the other.
Yeah.
Either you are getting exploited or you are exploiting.
Yeah, yeah, of
Sometimes
course.
A bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. All workplaces, that it's just a game of social strategy.
Nothing's actually, oh, you're getting fairly compensated for the work. You get fucked.
No.
One's getting fairly compensated.
I think at this workplace, I they were all quite technologically illiterate. And I have used a computer, and so I was there to do like initially like curriculum design stuff, and then they kind of brought me on to do a bunch of like data analysis and sort of like also some sort of like coding things every now and again. But I can't code separately. What I can do is copy code from the internet. So I would just copy and paste it in and be like, that's incredible.
That's what most coders are doing anyway.
That's what most coders do. Yeah. But anyway, because they were technologically literate, I would like do things and it'd be like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And so they were like,
you were like a wizard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So one time I linked a Google form to a Google Sheets. And then they said, and I quote, this changes the game. This has.
They're like, this is a witch.
It's always like, oh my God.
But it was
Alex has created a wormhole from one to the other.
So I genuinely, it's like a 45-hour work week, and I did like 8 to 9 hours of work a week.
Well, yeah, because linking a Google form to a Google Sheet takes approximately 8 hours.
Yeah, of course. It's a long, it's a big task.
You've got to write all that code.
You've got to, like, you know, research all the things, talk to the people, talk to head office.
You've got to ring up Google and ask them to do it for you.
And then you're on hold for ages.
Of course, exactly. And I was working on hold, of course. I was doing a lot of work. I was coding. I was coding, doing all sorts of coding. But I used to go, like, climbing during the day instead of, like, doing my job. Or I'd go to, like, I'd have lunch with my friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, it'd be, yeah, really good. And I think, I mean.
So, wait, one second. Yes. How did you learn to exploit people? Is that what you learned from this
job? Yeah. Well, I think so. I think it just reaffirmed, I think it reaffirmed my belief that all things in life are just games of social strategy. And so I was like, how can I play the game in such a way that I secure my spot and become indispensable? So I did a thing of like, I intentionally tried to like befriend like the key workhorse in like every single department of the company and become like their little morale sort of mascot figure.
Yes.
And then that way, if they ever tried to fire me, it would tank the morale of the entire company. So I was like, they knew they couldn't get rid of me.
I find being associated with the hard workers, they get painted with the same brush.
You
are who you surround yourself
with. Yeah.
So they're like, well, Alex is obviously grinding because he's mates with, you know,
so-and-so.
And then they're also like, oh, those people aren't friends with lazy people.
Yeah.
So Alex can't be lazy.
Also, because when they would moan about other lazy people, I would join in the moan.
Yes.
I love that. It's when you're stood with them and they're like, I hate it when people do this. And you're like, I never do that.
Or they're like, they only sent this thing like days, and you're like, you're joking me, and you still haven't sent
this thing. Exactly. Yeah. You have to be on the right side of the mob, essentially.
Yes.
Like you have to be in with the pitchforks and stuff. And then
common enemy.
Yeah. And if you also direct them in other areas rather than going to you, then you can always like drive attention to other places. So it's like, I actually promise I wasn't this evil in the job. I was actually very lovely.
What you learned was how to be Machiavellian.
Yeah, I am. I'm very sneaky. We've done this. Did I tell you about the, this is not really a job, but like, I played a game of Survivor for 3 days in a field in Middlesbrough with strangers.
What?
And we lived on the ground for like 3 days.
Lived on the ground.
Just like slept on the ground in a park next to a motorway.
Wait, what?
And
is this safe, Alex?
No, genuinely no. One time we had to evacuate our camp at one point because it got stormed by teens. So
interesting.
And then also I feel like
you might be taking this whole social strategy thing a bit too far.
Everything is social strategy. I actually did learn for that podcast. I did learn for that experience. I was like, man, I am actually really good at this. It was really validating.
Right. It's been lovely having
you
on
so
our
much.
Podcast.
Oh, it's
fine. Thank you for having me.
It's been genuinely mental.
This is going to be real fun to edit.
Every time we asked a question, it went off in a way that we were not expecting.
Couldn't have predicted.
But really funny. And tell you what, I'm really bloody looking forward to seeing Mothman.
Yes.
Are you coming?
Can't
wait. On the Friday.
Oh my God, so. Yes. Okay, it's going to be so, there's so much blood.
Coming
there's
to so it.
Much, there's so much blood.
Amazing.
It's insane. That the music's got good now, I think. So it's like, it's a vibe. We'll see what happens, but we fun. Are you coming to, you want to come to Mothman?
I don't know when it is.
Do you want to come to Mothman?
Come with me on Friday, the 3rd of October.
I am in Ireland.
No.
I know, yeah.
Okay. I think it's.
Okay, we have to wrap.
Yes, we have to go. Okay, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Alex Franklin.
Yay.
Wonderful comedian.
Let's go.
Thanks so much for listening to that wonderful podcast with Alex. I mean, I'll be honest, there was so much we had to cut out that you can actually watch.
Yeah, there is 8 minutes that I had to cut out where we talked about Bamzuki and Mark Watson. Yeah. It was not relevant.
Just because we are trying to keep this podcast somewhat a reasonable length.
Yes.
I struggled with me and Ruby involved, let alone Alex, but we're going to try, we promise. So, but there will be bonus content available.
Yes. I don't know when yet, but we will let you know as soon as.
By the time you're listening to this, we'll have told you somewhere where the bonus content is.
Yes. But otherwise, if you've enjoyed this, if you don't follow me and Catherine already,
what are you doing?
Then I'm Ruby Vroom Vroom on Instagram and TikTok.
Also, my name is not.
Yeah, I know. We do it in the podcast.
I know.
FYI, it's Kat.
Okay. Just because you've watched to the end of the podcast, you can be told. Right. So yeah, obviously, maybe my government name is Catherine, but I am now Kat Higgins Comedy. Okay, yeah. Kat is what I go by. Kat is what I am called. This is just between you, mate. And listen, maybe some of us are adjusting to my new name, including, I don't know, me. But that's what I go by. So it's kat.higginscomedy on Instagram. Please go follow that. Please go follow Odd Jobs Pod.
We've got TikTok. We've got Instagram. We've got YouTube.
You can watch us. If you're not watching us now, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then, leave comments.
Yes. Comments review. Always. Please like. Please share.
If you've got all the way to this point at the end and you're leaving a review, it better be nice.
Only nice. Only nice ones. But yeah, and also Mothman musical, mentioned it. It has been rescheduled. It is now happening from the 6th to the 8th of November at the Pleasance Theatre in London. Alex's amazing romance musical. Please go see that. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.